It's a privilege to welcome each one to the service today, the St. John Seventh-day Adventist Church, those that are here visiting and those that are watching online. Leading out in our services today, and scripture reading by Emma, our pastor will have the sermon today. And Carmen, we thank you for playing at the piano. This morning we'd like to read a call to worship from a psalm. And it says this: make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we welcome the Sabbath, the fellowship. We invite your spirit to be in our midst. We ask that we'll honor you and that the community around will know that we are a people that acknowledge that God is our creator. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For our opening hymn, shall we all be upstanding while we sing hymn number 511, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he had made known. Oh, why, oh, worthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know me.
happy Sabbath. Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. That's why I'm suffering the way I am, but this gives me no reason to be ashamed. That's because I know who I believe in, and I'm sure he is able to take care of what I have given him. I can trust him with it until the day he returns as judge.
Have our prayer song, and our pastor will have the pastoral prayer.
Let us pray. Father, what a delight it is once again for us as your people to gather together in your sanctuary, to worship, to fellowship with you, and most of all, dear God, to reflect the beauty of your salvation towards us. Oh God, we thank you that You look at us with compassion. We thank you that everything good that we have comes from you. Oh God, that you do not deprive us that which satisfies our hungering souls. And Lord, this morning we have come with hearts as full of gratitude of how you have led us through the week. For some of us, it was difficult. And for some of us, it was a joyful week. But Lord, today we want to pause and say thank you. Thank you for everything you do before us and behind the scene as well. We thank you for our church family. And we thank you that you have called us to be part of your ministry of growing your kingdom here on this earth. Lord, we pray that you forgive us where we fall short of your glory. In moments you have asked us to do something and we turned our ears off. In moments, Lord, you asked us to spend time with you and we did not. We asked for forgiveness, but you placed in us a desire that will hunger for you. Lord, we thank you that we can bring to you the names that are listed in the prayer corner. Minister to each one as you know their need. And we pray, Father, that you minister to each one that is here today. We ask you attend to their secret, their private, their silent prayer request. And I pray, Father, they may find victory in you. And most of all, Lord, we pray that you continue to draw us closer to your heart. May this worship service today bring us closer to you and closer to each other. And most of all, continue to prepare us to receive you that day you come take us home. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
Welcome, Melinda, to have our special music at this time.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Come
And come morning, there's glory for me. Glory for me. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. So I'll care the midnight, and come morning, there's glory for me. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. And come morning, there's glory for me.
This one more time. Happy, happy Sabbath. Happy, happy day. Amen, amen, amen. Have you been blessed, church? I don't know about you, but that special music, Yolanda, that was beautiful. And God has blessed you with a heavenly voice. And I tell you, your singing took me to a place where I can't wait. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face and be able to say thank you. Thank you for the cross and what you have done for me. This morning, I just want to take the opportunity to welcome you in the house of God. If you are here for the first time, God bless you and thank you for being here. Friends, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That is 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's where we will be spending a little bit of our time. That is 2 Timothy chapter 1. That is where the Lord wants to speak to us from this morning. That is 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you and me to pay attention to the words of a man who knows that he's dying. I want to you and I to pay attention to the words of an old preacher seeking to encourage a young preacher that he is living behind. And he wants to encourage him one more time. That is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Are you there, church? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, one more time, Lord, one more time. Like you have done before, I surrender myself and I surrender your people, asking that you will take the opportunity to speak to each one, that your word will not turn back to you void. Oh God, I pray that each one will walk away with "Thus saith the Lord," and not "Thus saith the preacher." Father, do something for us. Speak to us in ways you have never done before. Open our hearts and minds to see you and to take hold of you, that we may walk faithfully and humbly with you, So the day you come to take us home, oh God, I pray that our hearts will rejoice because we have heard and we have followed you. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul held young Timothy close to his heart. We first encounter this young lad, Timothy, in the book of Acts chapter 16. Paul was on his second missionary journey. And there Paul meets this young man by the name of Timothy. And of course, when Paul seen this young man, he was quite impressed by his faith that was passed down to him from his grandmother Lois to his mother Eunice. And dear friends, like we've seen that baby being dedicated today, Paul saw something viable in this young man. He saw something that could be used for the glory of God to enhance the ministry and spreading the gospel. The Bible tells us that the young man, Timothy, eventually left everything and began to travel with Paul. Paul became his mentor. The relationship between the two grew to the extent that Paul describes this young prodigy as my son in the faith. In other words, Paul loved this young man. But now, here is where things get very interesting for us today. When we come to 2 Timothy chapter 1, things had changed for Paul. Paul was no longer moving about freely. Paul was in prison. And at this time, Paul knew that his life was coming to an end. And Paul knew something. He knew something else. He knew that Timothy would encounter some difficult times. There will be opposition in his ministry. There will be suffering in his ministry. There will be disappointing time in his ministry. There will be moments where Timothy will feel weak and powerless. There will be moments where Timothy, like you and me, will look at himself and say, Lord, why? And Paul wanted Timothy to understand something. He wanted him to understand that following Jesus does not mean you will never suffer. You with me, church? Following Jesus does not mean that you will not suffer. And so Paul, seeking to encourage this young man, look what he says in verse 12. Verse 11, Paul talks about how he was called to preach the gospel and hurl the message. And then he says in verse 12, that is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is not cause for what? Shame. Because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is what? Able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Friends, listen to me very carefully. Paul doesn't say, I know what tomorrow holds. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I know everything that is going to happen and everything is going to work out in my favor. He doesn't say that, my dear friends. Paul understands that he is going to face suffering. And instead of him making up all these things, Paul speaks words that are filled with so much faith. Paul speaks words that you and me, if we take hold of these words can change your life today. Amen, Cleopatra. Amen. Paul says, listen to it very carefully. Okay, this is for you, Cleopatra. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And then he asks, I am convinced, I am persuaded that he is able to do what, friends? To guard which I have entrusted to him until that day. What day is that, dear friends? The second coming of Jesus. To guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day. Friends, that is our message today. I know whom I have believed, and he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him. Are you with me this morning, church? See, I get excited. I could speak quite fast. So I don't want to get ahead of you, because this morning I want to make something very clear, because I'm here to tell somebody that the suffering you may be going through does not mean that God has left you. You're with me, church? The struggles you may be going through, even though you may feel like you have been forsaken by your friends and family, even though you may be suffering in silence, does not mean that God has left you. Amen? Because as a preacher, especially in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we love the Bible. And so I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that the moment you accept Jesus and the moment you invite him into your life, the thing's going to be perfect. That you'll never struggle again. In fact, Jesus promised that trials and tribulations will follow you if you seek to follow him. You with me? The Bible actually says persecution will occur for our faith. There is an enemy. There's an enemy who stands against God and who stands against his children. The world is in a rebellion against God. Do you recall what happened to Jesus when he came here on this earth? The world nailed him on the tree. And he said, no servant is greater than the master. And so friends, you can expect to go through uncomfortable things as you faithfully walk with the Lord. The apostle Paul adds, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be what? Will be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. That is the reality. Suffering comes because we live in a broken world. Sin has entered this world. Death has entered this world. Pain has entered this world. And as long as we live in this world as it is, none of us is exempt from going through trials and tribulation. It doesn't matter if you are a good person. It doesn't matter if you are doing it right and living in the right path. As long as we live in this world as it is, you can expect to experience uncomfortable things. See, the Apostle Paul served God faithfully. He preached the gospel faithfully to the Gentile, went around turning the world upside down for the kingdom of God, yet he was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was rejected, and he understood hardship. Yet in the face of danger, in that prison cell, while waiting for execution, Paul says to young Timothy, the words that could transform your life today, I know whom I have believed. And I know whom I have believed. See, Paul's circumstances had not changed, but his confidence had changed. Let me say it again. His circumstance had not changed, but his confidence in the Lord had changed. This is what I want you to remember today. Paul did not say, I know everything. He said, I know whom I have believed. You see, there is a difference between knowing what you believe and knowing whom you believe. You with me, church? There is a difference between knowing what you believe and knowing whom you believe. Let me explain, because I don't want to be misunderstood this morning. You see, it is good to know what you believe. It is good to know the truth. It is good to know the word of God. It is good to know the sound doctrines. We need to know what the scripture teaches, but Christianity is not simply about knowing facts about God. Christianity is all about knowing the God of the Bible. Hello. See, you can know about Jesus and still know Jesus. You can know about the Sabbath and still know the Lord of the Sabbath. You can know the prophecies and still know the one who gave us the prophecies. You can know all about the sanctuary message and still know the high priest who is serving you and me in the heavenly sanctuary, dear friends. You can all know about the three angel message and still know that the Lamb of God is at the center of the three angel message. My friends, we must know what we believe. We must know what we believe, but we must also know whom we believe in. Because when you know him, when you know his character, when you know his love, when you know his power and you have tested it, when you know his promises, you can face tomorrow differently. You move differently. You may not know what the future holds, but you know who holds tomorrow. You may not know the results of the trials in the end come, but you know who is with you in the midst of the trial. You may not understand it all. You may not understand how God is going to answer, how God is going to answer the prayer you've been lifting up day and night, but you know who you are praying to. See, knowing the one you believe in and having the intellectual understanding that he's able to guard that which you have entrusted to him until that day, it gives you access into his presence. It gives you access into his rest. For Paul says, I am convinced. I am convinced that he is able. When we know the greater is he that is in me, than he who is in what? In the world. It is then that you and me have the real boldness to navigate through life difficulties. It is then you and me, when the pastor calls on somebody, who will go out and proclaim, you will stand up because I know that through Christ in me, the hope of glory, he will give me the boldness to go out and get out of my comfort zone. You see, Paul was able to have peace in the face of hardship because he has surrendered his life to the one he knew is able to guard it and keep it. Oh, dear friends, I'm telling you the secret on how to take a nap like Jesus in the midst of the storm. See, the reason Jesus was able to rest in the midst of the storm, he was resting in his Father's love, just comfortable. Because when you know who is with you, See, Paul understood he could not keep his own life. Only God can. And because his confidence was not in himself but in the Lord, he says he is able. Paul wanted young Timothy to know in moments of discouragement, he's what, friends? He's able. When you are afraid, say with me, he is what? He's able. When you are sick, he's what, friends? He's able. When your family is struggling, he's what? When you are facing those who gossip about you, talk behind your back, I'm telling you, friends, God is still able. You see, Paul was saying, God is able in the face of death. God was able. He was able, and Paul can testify, even when you feel far from God, he's still able. But let me make something very clear. When I say God is able, it does not mean that he will always answer the way you want. You with me, church? It does not mean that he is going to answer exactly the way you want. Sometimes our dear Heavenly Father knows best, and he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says later. Sometimes he says not yet. Even then, he is God. When the answer is wait, he is still God. When we don't understand, he is still God. And because I know God is on my side, I do not lose heart, Jason. Because I know that God is on my side, Heather, let me tell you something. I will stand like a tree planted in the water. Because I know that he's on my side, I do not lose heart. And this man named Paul, who knew affliction and opposition, he was able to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, and he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far awaits them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. See, church, knowing the one we believe in and what he's able to do for you, we do not lose heart. Even when things around us is falling apart, we do not lose heart. Even when your family and friends seems to be sleeping, we do not lose heart. Even when the church may feel cold at times, we do not lose heart. So we keep our eyes fixed on him who is able. You don't keep your eyes fixed on your pastor. You don't keep your eyes fixed on your parents, because God is the only one who is able to do the impossible. So you keep your eyes fixed on him. For in him, for all the pains of this world is temporary. In him, he's able to give back that which we have entrusted and committed unto him through faith. And just like Paul, God, listen to me carefully. Just like Paul, God is honored when our hearts are encouraged and when we speak words of confidence and trust while we're in trouble. I believe that God really loves listening to words of faith come out of our mouth. Just like Job, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I should go. And the Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Words of faith. So let me ask you, last time you felt powerless, last time you faced hardship, last time you received the news about your health, when you heard your loved one has passed away, when you received that phone call that your dear child, your dear loved one is in the hospital, how did you respond? What did you say? Did you tell God how big your storm is, or did you tell your storm how big your God is? Do you know that he is able? Let me tell you what my God is able to do. You ready? When you are discouraged and filled with doubt, the Bible says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. When you feel like your prayers are not being heard, the Bible says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generation forever and ever. When you are suffering emotionally, physically, and mentally, my Bible tells me, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He is able to aid those who are struggling. For those who feel like they are falling further and further away from God and the church family, the Bible says in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's a lot of promises. He is able. For those who feel lost, maybe it's a loved one. You feel that there is no hope of return for them. You have been praying for your kids. But listen, dear friends, my Bible tells me my God is able. He says, therefore, he's able to save. He's able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he's always lives to make intercession for them. Can we say amen? Oh, you cannot go too far from my God, because he's able to come wherever you go. This is the God I know and I believe in. And I'm convinced today that he's able to save. I'm convinced today that he has the power and he's still able to save you and me today. He is able, dear friends. There is a story. It's a story I read in a little book, little tiny book called Five Secrets for Peace in a Storm by Ruthie Jacobsen, or Jacobsen. A pastor from Korea tells the story of a distressed mother. This distressed mother came to him for counsel in his office. She described her unfortunate situation. Speaking with tears and discouragement and grief in her voice, she told the pastor, our lovely daughter, she cried, has become a prostitute. We have tried everything. We have tried everything we can possibly think of to help her, but she's not willing to receive the help. We have given her money. We have tried pleading with her. With tears and kindness, prayer, we try, we counsel, but she's getting worse and worse. My husband and my son are ashamed that we are at the end of our ropes. Pastor, she said, I have decided that if she would end her life, would be the best. Because she's so unhappy. She's so destructive. And she's just going downhill. The pastor sat there and just listened. True story. Then the pastor, with eyes and compassion, he looked at this mother. And then he looked at her and he asked her a question. Tell me, how are you praying for your daughter? How are you praying for your daughter? The mother responded, I pleaded with God to change her. The pastor looked at her and he said, I want you to do something differently. Let us kneel together. And so together, the mother and the pastor kneeled in his office. Then he told the mother, tell God, thank him. Thank God for all the joys that your daughter has brought to your family as she was growing up. Just think of all the blessings your family have enjoyed through this girl. Tell the Lord. So they knelt, and at first struggling, the mother finally was able to pray a prayer that was somewhat positive. and a heartfelt gratitude. She felt the burden lift her as she prayed, "Lord, thank you for my beautiful daughter. Thank you for that baby that used to join me singing." And she lifted her hands up in the air with thanksgiving. After the prayer, the pastor reminded her, "As you go home, pray like that, just like that. Thank God for your beautiful daughter." So the mother went home, and every single time she felt the pain, she prayed, "Lord, thank you for my beautiful daughter. Thank you for what you have done for her. Thank you because I know that you are able. Thank you for my beautiful, precious, sweet girl." And so she read scriptures that encourage her faith, thanking God for her sweet daughter. One morning, some weeks later, the mother came back to visit the pastor. And she told the pastor an interesting story. See, her daughter woke up laying in a bed beside a man that she had never seen before. She could not remember that evening or the situation that led to that moment. And so she was horrified. And she was filled with so much remorse, so much hatred for herself. What have I become? Who is this person? The only thing she could think of was to end her life. But the thought kept coming to her mind, before committing suicide, "I better go say goodbye to my mother. I better go say bye to my mother." And so she got dressed, took a cab to their home. And as she was walking to the front door of the house, her mother saw her. And her mother opened the door nice and wide and overjoyed. The first words that came out of her mouth, "Here is my beautiful daughter. Here is my sweetheart. Here is the one that God has given to me, this precious gift." The daughter was shocked to hear such a words come out of her mother's mouth. But her mother would not hear it. "Mom, I'm not worthy. Oh, my precious baby, my beautiful daughter." And so her mom said, "Come inside the house." And the mother fixed her breakfast and said, "Come," and brought her to her bed and told her to rest. And this girl, dear friends, was in a phase of faith-filled words. She was in the presence of a woman that believed in a God that is able. And so she told her to rest a while. The girl discovered that suddenly, by faith, by the faith of a mother and her words, that God was able, a God who is able to restore, a God who is able to love her. Soon, she was able to reach out to God in her bedroom and crying out. Then she went, dear friends, that day the mother came to see the pastor. I said, "Pastor, you don't know. My daughter is outside, and she wants Bible studies." Amen. She got some study, and she got baptized, and she married a pastor, and now she's serving the Lord. Amen. Oh, dear friends, you see, the story is not about the daughter. The story is about a mother who finally realized, "I cannot fix it on my own." She could not change her daughter. She could not control her choices. She could not change her past. She could not change her future. But she discovered something. She discovered that placing her daughter in the hands of a God who is able. Are you with me, church? She had tried everything. Or she had prayed. And she had cried. But placing her in the hands of a God who is able. Maybe there's somebody in the house today who has prayed. Who has done everything. You're worried. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's yourself, it's the unknown sin, the thing that has hold on you. And maybe today you're coming to the end of your ropes. "Lord, I cannot do this anymore." I'm here to tell somebody, God says, "Give it to me." Your family, he says, "Give it to me." Your health, he's saying, "Give it to me." Your future, just give it to me. Your failures, give it to me. Your broken heart. God can speak things into existence because he is still able. But my friends, there's something greater than God changing our circumstance. God wants to change us. He wants to forgive us. And he wants to break the chains. He wants to destroy the sin that's been hurting you day in and day out. The Bible says he is able to save completely those who come to him through him. Did you hear that, friends? He's able to save completely. Maybe you are listening online, and you have been away from God. And you hear that voice, God saying, "Come back home. Come." And God is able to restore. Maybe you know the Sabbath, but you don't know the Lord of the Sabbath. Maybe you know the Bible, but you don't know the author of the Bible. Maybe you know the truth, but today Jesus is calling you to know him. Because he did not say, Paul did not say, I know what tomorrow holds. He said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able. And so, dear friends, I don't know who I'm speaking to right now. But if you are saying, Jesus, I want to know you more deeply. Jesus, I recognize today I've been doing it my own way. But today, like that good hymn says, have your own way, Lord. And you want to surrender your life to him. Maybe you're saying, Jesus, I cannot carry it anymore. I'm putting my hands and I'm surrendering it to you. Jesus, I have wandered away. And today, I'm coming home. I'm going to have Cameron begin to play. Then I want to invite you. I want to invite you to come to the front. I haven't done this in a while, but the Spirit moves me today. I want you to come to the front. If you say, Lord, I've been hurting for too long. Maybe you've been hurting for your children. I want to invite you to come. Come as you are. Take those steps on behalf of your children. Take those steps on behalf of your family. Maybe today you realize you only know Jesus by definition. But you've been so far. Just come. Because I'm telling you today, friends, God is still able. He's still able. For the one that's saying, Lord, I don't know everything. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't even know where to start. All you have to do is just come. And as we sing our closing song, I still invite you to come. If the Spirit is tugging on your heart, and at the end of the song, we will pray. Maybe you've been thinking about baptism, and you want to surrender yourself in the baptism water. Just come. This is a decision just between you and God. They are saying, I surrender all. I invite the congregation to stand. If the Spirit moves you, Lord is waiting.
To Jesus, we surrender all to him, my freely give. We will ever love and trust in him. His presence daily.
I surrender.
As your word says, there is no other God like you. You know the beginning to the end. And Lord, today we recognize that we are powerless and fragile. In our own, dear God, we cannot do it. And we have come before the throne of grace because we have tasted and seen that you are able. Even the face of death, you are able. Even if we fall sick to the day you come, take us home, dear God, you hold the key to the grave. Father, you are the true doctor. So right now, Father, I pray that you begin with me. Break the chains in my life that may speak boldly and pray on behalf of your children who have come forward today. And those who are saying their hearts, maybe I don't have the courage to come forward, but Lord, in my heart, I'm here. Father, I pray that your spirit will touch each one. Speak to each one. Lord, I want to speak words filled with faith because I believe in you. Those who will come forward on behalf of their children. God, wherever they may be, touch them right now. Let them feel something they never felt before. Let them have awakening right now, dear God, that they may come home. For those who are lifting up their children because they have a sickness that the doctors don't know what to do, Jesus, you are able to touch them. For those who have a strange relationship with their children, that brokenness, Lord, your God of reconciliation, we pray that you bring reconciliation today. Father, I pray for those who are having marital issues. God, only you know what's happening in those homes. We pray whatever the enemy has intended to accomplish. Father, we pray that you banish it. Oh God, once again, your light of love will shine in those homes that the community may see what true marriage that is connected with you look like, that there may be a light to this world. Lord, you know those who are battling with addictions. Like Paul says, the things I don't want to do, I continue to do. What a wretched man I am. Who can save me? And he looked to Jesus. Today we're looking to you. And Father, you know each one's need today. But this time I ask that you help us to walk in that new confidence that Paul had, that Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego had. Lord, I pray that today we'll go out and tell somebody else. It is not to my shame that I'm suffering because I know whom I believe in and that he's able to give back that which I have committed to him until that day. So thank you so much for answering, and we thank you for your love. In Christ Jesus we pray, amen.